Welcome back to the Catchula of Hearts podcast, the Catching Kelsey podcast that asks the question, Xavier, how would you feel if I referred to you only by your state from now on?
I mean, if that's easier for you. I know we have been doing the podcast for a little while now, so I would maybe think you could get around. But, you know, like, yeah, anything that makes the conversation flow, you know?
Yeah, maybe I could just call you New South Wales from now on. I think that would be fine and fair for all of us.
I think that's a good idea. And you know what? Just to make things really simple and clear, particularly for the audience, I think also I might refer to you as your state as well.
Yeah, great. Okay.
So, this is my co-host, New South Wales. And my name, of course, is New South Wales.
Yes, Rebetzky Noonan.
That's right. Yeah. I'm New South Wales. I love The Bachelor. I'm about to go goat cart racing. Haha. Hope I fit in the cart. And I hate the coronavirus. And as I just said, joining me as always, my co-host, my tight friend, New South Wales.
New South Wales, Quinn, is in fact my name. We are doing this bit because Travis Kelsey on the show Catching Kelsey is dating 50 women from 50 states. We are one episode in, and at this point, he is not using their names, and the women are not using their names to each other. Instead, they're calling each other things like Mississippi and Wyoming.
Hey, Rhode Island. Nice to meet you.
Before we go any further on today's show, we are recording on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We want to say hi and hello to any First Nations listeners who might be out there in Bachelor of Hearts land. Our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Thanks for being here.
I can speak from experience, and I can tell you that 50 women is a lot of women. Okay. How do I know this?
Mm.
I heard estimates, and this may or may not be true. I don't know how verified this is, but I heard people speculating that there were up to 50 women at the Eras Tour, which I saw this week. The big Taylor Swift show rolled into town. And
Give us the recap. What was it like?
Well, I felt a bit like our friend Travis because I was just surrounded by, I don't know, already I'm feeling uncomfortable with this metaphor. But it was great. It was fucking awesome. I feel like I walked away with a greater appreciation of Taylor Swift and her, you know, her catalog and of parts of her catalog that I maybe last week was a little unkind towards. I'm now you know, we're cooking with gas, you know, a couple of those Reputation songs. I mean, they're getting the pyro out for it, but I'm like, okay, you know, I was a little too unkind, a little too harsh.
Okay.
But it was fantastic. I'm sure nobody is surprised to hear me say that. It's all anybody has said about the tour. But one thing did happen that was quite, like, I guess, unexpected. Well, last week when we recorded this podcast, I did make a promise. And maybe it was I was extending myself a little too much. I thought maybe if I say this, I will will it into being.
So, what you said at the end of the last episode was that you were going to meet Travis Kelsey and you were going to get him on the podcast this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I told our listeners to expect. And funny thing is, we actually met at the Taylor Swift concert.
You did meet Travis Kelsey at the Taylor Swift concert?
Yeah, yeah. He was in the, like, VIP section. He was there, like, bopping along. He knows all the words now. It's very cute. And you know, I was, obviously, like, seated way up, high on the opposite end of the stadium. And, I sort of toddled my way down there, you know, and I met him in the men's room he was so nice. And crazy thing is, he actually agreed to come on the show.
That's
because
lovely.
We just, like, struck it up, you know, we shared a bond instantly. I was talking to him about all the cool stuff I've learned about football in the last week, thanks to my friend Max Quinn, New South Wales. And so, like, I booked him in. I gave him a time, come into the studio, record. We're doing this one over Zoom. So he, you know, I gave him the address to my place, and he's actually here, which is super crazy. But I don't want anyone to get too excited because I'm really sorry, but I'm having some tech issues.
Okay.
And so Travis is here. He's in the room with me, but unfortunately his microphone is not working.
Okay.
So, like, if you have any questions for Travis or, like, if there's anything you want to know, like, just let me know and I'll relay that to him, and I'm pretty sure I could get a yes or no answer out of him.
Okay. All right. So, the first question that I would like to ask Travis, sir, is, are you safe?
Okay. Travis, Max wants to know if you're, well, he's shaking his head. No. Ooh. And that's sort of the fun, loving energy that I think we've been seeing from Travis. Is he's a bit of a goof, you know. We've seen him in ITMs in this episode, just like he's singing, he's clapping his hands, he's strutting around, and like he's not capable of doing any of these things right now. But like that's how he's sort of he's nodding and agreeing with me he's definitely
smiling with his eyes, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So when I said, should we do in person or on Zoom? And you said, on Zoom, please, dear God, on Zoom.
Yeah.
Was not to do with any of this business.
No. It's starting to rain outside, New South Wales weather. Am I right? They named me after it.
Everywhere they go.
Right, yeah. And it's like one season in one day over here. We already made that joke recently on the podcast.
Stupid show. Good show that we have here.
I think
it is The Bachelor.
Travis is shaking his head. He's saying it's not a good show. I don't know. I think he's just kidding around. He's a real ham, you know?
We will get to the ham essence of Travis as we continue with this episode of the BOH Pod. We are recapping, of course, episode 1 of Catching Kelsey, a brand new series for us here on the BOH Pod. If you want to, you can find this on 7 Plus. I believe it is it also on Hey You, Zave?
Yeah, I think so. Last time I checked, it'll be on one of those, or if not, I'm sure you can find it somewhere else. But yes, it is available to stream in Australia right now, thankfully.
We would encourage you to stream along. The preview episode is 20 minutes long. It will set you up for the entire series, both of the show and of the podcast. And now that we are all set, we are all previewed, Zave and I have consumed the first episode in which Travis Kelsey cuts 50 women down to 15.
That is so, I mean, like, that's what this episode is, and it's an hour long, but it flies by. Like, this is breakneck television.
I thought it was a really, really good episode of TV. I enjoyed this quite much.
I thought so too. I mean, like, I watched it once. I would traditionally watch an episode more times to prepare for one of our podcasts. So like, it was a barrage, you know. It was a real, like, this week I also went to see Dune 2 in IMAX, and I would say this is quite a similar experience of just like sensory overload, you know, right. Sounds and sights and stuff just like barreling at you and, you know, shaking every bone in your body, but in a good way, I think.
I think we've got to start with the a cappella falsetto singing. Right at the top of this episode, we get a rendition of Eddie Holman's soul classic from 1969, Hey There, Lonely Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question to you. Does Travis Kelsey have a better falsetto than me? Because I think that he does.
I didn't know you were going to frame this question this way. I had a feeling we would be talking about Travis Kelsey has got pipes for days.
Yeah.
And like, not just like he has great tone for falsetto, mm-hmm. like that sort of high head voice or whatever, but he has control as well. Like, he really has precision. He is on key and he is expressive. Like, I don't want the takeaway from this answer to be, yes, he is more talented than you, my friend and bandmate, Max Quinn. But like, this is not a part of Travis that I was ever aware of.
No, I wasn't expecting this at all.
And like, he could release an album, you know, like, this is a part of his career that has not been touched yet, but I'm like, you know.
And listener, if you don't know this song in particular, Hey There Lonely Girl from 1969, it is sung entirely in what I would think is falsetto by Eddie Holman, this man who has this beautiful high head voice that it's one of those, like, you know how like Louis Armstrong kind of sounds like he's singing with gravel?
Yes.
This is like that, where it's like one of those one in a million, how is this voice possible kind of voices.
Right. And somehow Travis is able to, like, not recreate it, but to live up to it in a way, you know?
Yeah, or I wouldn't say, I wouldn't go as far as to say live up, but, like,
maybe not.
He is, at the very least, capably hitting the notes.
Absolutely, yeah. And, like, pleasant surprise. We might never hear this from him again, or he might do a collaborative album with Taylor Swift in the next 6 months. Like, you know, both are as likely to me, you know?
I choose this as a job.
That would be that would be a weird move for Taylor Swift, I think. But you know.
I choose this as a jumping off point because I want to use it as a way to talk about what makes Travis Travis. And we've now seen one episode of this show. My question to you is, do you like him?
I really like him.
Mm.
And like,
why?
Yeah, I guess I was expecting to like him because the little that I knew about him was quite positive and was like, oh, this is like a disarmingly like character filled guy. You know what, like, you know, and mm-hmm. Again, I'm invoking the tweets that leaked or whatever, but I'm like, that's not like a character he's putting on. Like, it really feels like he is just a goofball. He is like a very positive guy. It's funny that this episode has a couple of, like, I think his personality type rubs up against what a reality lead needs to be in a little, like, you know, when he's brutally cutting people, when he's forced to make difficult decisions or sort of, yeah, conduct the business of being the lead.
Yes.
That's the only part of the show where his personality is not the focus. But for the rest of the time, you're like just bathing in it, just loving it.
It's really interesting because in a lot of ways, I feel like he's the alpha bro. He's got the watch and the jewels and he's in the club and fist pumping. And at one point he says, I'm supposed to be the big bad football player. And here I am sitting and talking about love.
Right.
And he's like flag waving menacingly and shouting America like we talked about in the preview episode.
Yeah.
This is the sort of man who I feel like if I was to present that side of Travis to you on a season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you and I might go, ooh.
Yeah, totally. There's enough about him that is not to my taste that I think that's what makes the stuff that is to my taste sort of stand out and worth.
And we love him
about.
For that, right? Like, right. He is actively unafraid to laugh at himself and make himself, as much as he is the center of attention, the butt of the joke.
Yeah, and, like, I don't want to give him too much credit for, like, you know, disrupting toxic masculinity or, like, breaking down gender roles or any, because I think it's, like, within the boundaries of, like, you know, heterosexual male sort of, like, general normality. But he gets a little freaky with it, you know? He's having some fun. And I think
he is a freak, and I like that about him.
Right, yeah. I think that's what's really endearing and why I want to keep following every move.
Let's now meet the women. There are 50 of them. And in this episode, they are introduced to us arriving at the LA Coliseum in matching, like, cheerleader crop tops and jeans. They're all waving pom-poms and they have their shirts on which say which state they're from.
They're, like, almost identically dressed. They've got the red shirts with the chill. Well, you know, this is uniform. But they are able to choose their own jeans, which I feel like, you know, I think that's kind of funny that there's like just a tiny little bit of expression in there where like some of them are like, I'm a white jeans person or whatever.
Okay.
But I was thinking about like, I think this levels the playing field in a way that, so to speak, is that a football thing? I don't know.
Sure.
They have a playing field in football.
Yeah.
But like, imagine if you were watching Bachelor Night One and instead of, you know, all the costumes and all the glitz and glamour and all the like, oh, this woman's got sequins and this woman's got, you know, whatever, this is a penguin outfit. If everyone was forced to wear a uniform, like something identical, I almost feel like that creates this like neutral beginning point that then makes the personalities and the gimmicks and stuff kind of pop a bit more. Do you agree?
Yeah, I suppose that's true because we're removing that one element of surprise in favor of in favor of the gag, really, that these are just like, these are the 50 women representing the 50 states.
Like, I bet the temptation was like, oh, we're going to have the woman from California be like carrying a surfboard and wearing a bikini and whatever the fuck. And like, you know,
yeah.
The woman from Texas, she's wearing cowboy boots and she's, you know, all that or whatever. And like, they don't go down that route. They let the women bring that to the table if they want to. But despite the fact that it's like one woman from each state, it's not like, well, I'd really like to get to know Texas because everything's bigger there. Or I don't know, whatever. What are the other things that people say about US states?
Right, right.
Chicago, she's must have eaten a bunch of beans for lunch because she's very windy.
And from here, we begin the process of whittling, like a knife carving into wood, down from 50 to 1, like a countdown, Xavi, of 50 items. We'll set the scene here. Travis enters the LA Coliseum, and the women are arranged for him in, like, rows, like shopping aisles.
Yeah, it's like almost like a grid system. There's like maybe a meter between them.
On the field.
Right.
And then Travis sort of meanders through the rows as if he is shopping for groceries.
Yeah, he's not in a rush. He's not like running to meet his mark at the end of it or whatever. He's like casually window shopping, being like, oh, okay, you know, yes, Alaska's here, Hawaii's here, you know. I thought maybe it would just be the lower 48 or something. I wonder if, actually, now I'm thinking about it, I wonder, like, I think maybe for thoroughness, they should maybe have included, like, American territories that aren't part of the 50 states. Like, okay. Guam.
Okay, Trinidad and Tobago, or, no, that's not, that's a whole other country, isn't it?
I think that's different, yeah. But like,
Cuba? Is Cuba an American territory?
I don't think so. But, like, oh, what, the U.S. Virgin Islands is one of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think you would be pissed if you went through all of this, if you were dating all these women or whatever, and, like, it went fine, but it wasn't to be, and then, like, a few years later, you met and fell in love with somebody from, like, the Antarctic research base that America has, you know? By the way, do we know if that's where Taylor Swift is from?
Maybe she is.
The Antarctic base? I'm not too sure about her origin story.
And so he sort of like weaves his way through the women, and then it becomes very clear to me very quickly that Travis, in addition to being the talent for this show and the man for whom love is sought, is also the host.
Yeah, there's no other, there's no usher, there's no, like, other person who is, like, sort of, conducting the business. That's a good point. That's a missing element.
Does this show need a host?
I mean, that is a good question, and it also brings to light, like, does any show, or, you know, could The Bachelor survive without a host, do you reckon?
I don't know. I think,
I don't like to think about it, because I like the host of The Bachelor, but it does, like, seeing how this goes, I'm like, most of this flows okay, you know?
I think it flows okay, but I also think that it stands to take away a little bit from Travis being so affable and freeform, because the rehearsed speech that he has to give about how brave these women are to fly to LA to pursue love, like, it just kind of lands with a bit of a thud for me.
I agree,
and I think that, like, if you were to insert generic whoever there to do that, like, explaining, and maybe he's dressed in a little referee's uniform.
Is there a famous NFL referee, or, you know, like, beloved sort of
there's judiciary. The Hockeyleys, Ed Hockeyley and his son, I think Steve Hockeyley, they're probably the most well known, but the referees in the NFL generally are oft criticized for doing a poor job.
What about, who's the coach at this time of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, yeah, you could get Andy Reid to do this. He's great.
Would he be keen, do you reckon? Is he the mustache guy? The frozen mustache guy?
With Travis Kelce that I can find and send to you, where they're trying to work out, it's like interest or something like that, and the coach's line is like, explain it again to me, except with these nuggies. And he's eating chicken nuggets and using them to count out food. He loves cheeseburgers and chicken nuggets, this man.
Yeah, he's an American man. What do you... Yeah. What do you... It doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah.
I love that that's his thing. He's like, I like cheeseburgers.
That's his favorite food. Everyone loves that Andy Reid's favorite food is cheeseburgers.
Sure. Do we know Travis's favorite food?
No, we don't.
No. Maybe we'll learn as the season goes on.
Mm. So I think that this show would be better with a host.
Yeah, anytime Travis has to do scripted stuff, it's not that he delivers it badly necessarily, but it's just like not super, it's not his strength. It's not like
it's not him.
It's not fitting with our image of him. Like, yeah, he should be being himself all the time. And he is most of the time, but yeah, those are the moments where it slows down a bit.
And so we're talking about how brave it is that all of these women have flown to California, and then it's revealed that the girls have 60 seconds each to make a first impression on Travis. And after that time, he is going to send 30 of them home.
Yeah, this kind of comes out of nowhere. And like a few things just in terms of like the mechanics of the show kind of just spring up out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, like,
I guess we're doing this now.
And maybe it's just because we're very familiar with the mechanics of a show like The Bachelor because it's been on forever or whatever.
Yes.
You know, they have to establish this stuff. There's limited time to do so. But whenever something like this comes up where it's like, oh, this is going to happen and it will result in massive losses to the population, you know? And the 60-second thing is also brutal, you know, like it's like, and there is a huge visible timer that's up on the Jumbotron or whatever, which just like ramps up the pressure, to an incredible degree.
And the way that these women spend their 60 seconds with Travis becomes the equivalent of a talent show.
And right. There are a couple of props, but it's nothing like the limo entrances in a Bachelor season. Like it is really, you know, that one of them has a peach and she's from Georgia and she's got a peach and that's, you know, or the one from Connecticut brings a license plate, which I think is like the most elaborate pre-planned bit, which I didn't get. Those are like the only two who have props that I remember seeing. And the rest of them are just like relying on what they were born with or what they, you know, what they came in with. Right. And we get a lot of talents. And Max, did you want to talk to me about some of the talents?
Yeah. Look, I've summarized as many of their talents as I can, as generously as I can. This is how these women spent 60 seconds trying to impress Travis Kelce. And maybe you could just grade this for me on a scale of touchdown to no touchdown.
Okay, great.
How does that sound?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know what a touchdown is because of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. The first talent is ballet.
I was pretty impressed with the ballet. I thought the ballet was quite good. This is one of the women who, I think maybe the only woman I saw not wearing jeans. She had some kind of activewear sort of bottom thing on.
I think you can't stretch properly in jeans.
I agree. Yeah, I think she maybe applied for special considerations or something for the costume department. But yeah, I thought the ballet was good.
Singing, poorly.
Yeah, the singing was like started strong. I think she had good tone, but then fell off the note at towards the end. I thought that was pretty unforgivable.
Are you going to give me a touchdown or a no touchdown?
Oh, I forgot. That's a no touchdown for me.
Okay. Kevin, the cat's owner.
Fuck, I forgot about that. The talent in this case was mentioning that she has a cat.
Named Kevin.
The cat is named Kevin, which frankly, I don't hate. Kevin's a pretty funny cat name, but I don't know if this is an instant touchdown. I feel like this is a no touchdown. Maybe Boobs. If Kevin was there. Oh, yeah, okay. I remember what you're talking about with boobs, which is like, yeah, doing like flexing the chest muscles and making them bounce or whatever. I like this because it's like you have 60 seconds and I think what you want to convey is like just a gentle horniness, right? Like if you just want to get across like, you know, to a total stranger, by the way, and like also a celebrity that you're probably quite excited to meet or whatever. That like, hey, you like to, you know, get a little, you know, like, I'm giving this a touchdown.
That's a touchdown, I think. What about froggy leap squats?
This was quite curious. Travis was impressed with this. He was like, what did he say? He says, like, I like any girl that can find time to fit in a workout or whatever.
Yeah.
Into a 1 minute period. This was a perplexing choice. I don't know how you arrive at this for, like, this is going to be my thing.
Yeah.
I want to applaud the outside of the box thinking. So sure. Yeah, I'll give it a touchdown.
It's a touchdown. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tongue girl.
I think on some level, this is a similar thing to the boob girl.
Yeah.
Where she's just like, look what I can do. And guess what it might be good for. You know what I mean? Think about it.
Did it work for you?
It actually did. I think this was very charming. Just in the sense of like it. Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, this is a 50-50. I get that. I don't know. Again, I'm just like, I don't know what else you're supposed to do in a minute, you know? But not
born
for
again
you.
Virgin is another choice.
Born again virgin. Now this is big. This is a big character for this episode. So much so that I wrote down that her name is London and she's from Tennessee.
London from Tennessee.
I mean, if we're referring to people as where they're from, you don't want to have the name of a city, you know?
No.
And then she said she's a born again virgin, which I also found a little confusing. But she, I think she like sells it with attitude. She's like really sticking to this character type throughout this episode, and obviously we don't see that yet, but even within this 1 minute she's like, you're not getting these cookies till you get a ring on it or something. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what the cookies are.
Mm-mm.
I don't, you like, know,
is somehow sassy and fire and brimstone at the same time,
right? Yeah, yeah. And like, I think this is a really strong strategy for getting screen time and for getting, you know, people to talk about you on a podcast. I don't know for sure if this is like a strong strategy for ending up with Travis.
I agree.
And there'll be a bit more to say about that and her later in the episode. I think for now, I don't know. This also got me wondering, like, you know, if we talk a bit about on The Bachelor, how like, There is one prize you can get, which is winning and ending up with the person. But then there are also prizes like getting to be Bachelorette or getting to become social media famous and stuff like that. And I wonder how much that's a part of the equation here. I started wondering about like, what do you gain by going on this show, which is an untested sort of new property, if you don't win? And is the idea that London is coming in with like, I'm going to convince this, you know, like this thing will be the thing that he likes about me? Or is it just like, you know, this will be an interesting character, or
this is the launch of my brand?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know what their answers for those questions. Yeah, I think I agree. I think it can't be a cut touchdown, even though I think she's really putting the energy in and trying to sell it. But yeah, it's a no touchdown.
Now, this next woman's talent is, my brother was on The Bachelor.
Yeah. Okay. So this
is Tana Talbot.
Yeah, so this woman is Kara. She is from Kansas, who says that her brother just got married on The Bachelor. This is Kara Talbot, the younger sister of Tanner Talbot, he of Jade and Tanner, who were engaged on Bachelor in Paradise season 2 in the US. They were married in a televised bachelor ceremony in January of 2016. And they have been brought back on the show plenty of times since then in the last 8 years or so as a success story. So I think they're right. Well known.
So they're still together.
Yep, still together. And they have a handful of kids. They're pretty well known to like modern Bachelor or like, you know, mid to modern Bachelor viewers as like one of the ones that worked. And
what
we
about
will
this
see
one?
Whether that ends up happening with Kara from Kansas.
What? How do you score her?
What did she do? Oh, look. I mean, honestly, if this is your opening salvo, I think that's a touchdown for me. I think, like, if you're like, success in this endeavor is in my blood, you know? It is my. I am born into a family of reality TV show winners,
yeah.
of love havers. You know, she's the Paul Atreides of this show.
Very expressive face, bad at conversation.
Now, you could be referring to a few people here. I don't know exactly which one you're talking about.
I'm gonna give you the hint of this woman went cross-eyed.
Oh, even that,
She was Miss Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. I must have just not noticed her at all. So I think no touchdown.
No touchdown for her.
Yeah.
Hugging. the woman who just hugged Travis.
That was crazy.
That was psycho.
Yeah, she said,
"Can I hug you?" And he said, "I want to get to know you." And she said, "Just hugging."
And this is like, honestly, not played for laughs in such a way as it would be on The Bachelor, I think. Like, it's a bit like she's cut, you know, they don't linger on this for ages. I think on The Bachelor, they would play like stupid music and they would air the entire 60 seconds like unedited. But here it's just like, oh, I guess. All right. It takes all kinds kind of thing.
Here we cut and we cut back.
Right. I liked it, but honestly, no, it's not a touchdown.
We talked about license plate. We talked about Georgia Peach. I just want you to score those.
Right. Okay. Georgia Peach. All we saw is her handing over the peach. Yeah. Which, like,
and
I'm
then she said, don't eat it because it's been on the ground.
Oh, okay. It's kind of charming.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a touchdown. And the license plate was mystifying. I did not understand this at all. No, didn't understand it at all.
No.
Is there, like... I mean, it's a license plate from her home state. But, like, are they, like, famous for their license plates there or something? Like, I couldn't work this out.
No. I think because Travis is also from Connecticut. Or, wait, no, he's from Ohio.
I have no fucking clue.
Wait, is Connecticut in Ohio?
Somebody gets points for being like, oh, I'm Kansas. Just like you are Kansas.
That's
and
Kara.
Somebody also gets points for being like, California, welcome to your new home state or whatever. You know, like there's a lot of this. I know one thing about you.
Okay.
You know.
What about this girl who says that she and Travis seem to have the same favorite gesture? And as far as I can tell, that gesture is hand job.
Yeah, do you know this about him? Is this a thing about him? Does he, like, do this when he scores a touchdown or something?
He doesn't simulate a hand job, but instead, like, he definitely, like, shakes his hand as, like, a touchdown celebration. He's got
doing, like,
various celebrations.
Is it a shake weight? Do you remember that?
Yeah. It's like the shake weight that he's basically doing.
Right.
But she is playing it off as if it is... explicitly horny.
This falls into that category of like, I don't get it, but it seems to work for him. So maybe that's a touchdown.
I think it might be a touchdown. And what about this one? This woman said, I'll play with your balls.
Oh yeah. So this, I mean, this is interesting. I don't know if I fully love the execution here. This falls on the similar like category as like the boob thing or whatever, or it's just like, I have an extremely limited amount of time and I want to make you think about a sex thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What is she? She says like, I won't play with anyone else's balls, footballs that is. I'm like, no, that was clear. You know, like,
yep.
We all get what's happening here. Very, very interesting. Not fully working for me. I would say no touchdown. Yeah.
Okay. This next woman's talent seems to just be Missouri.
Okay. I missed that one. I'm going to say no touchdown.
Poetry?
Oh, yeah. Brought something from home, maybe, or wrote it down on the way here or something?
Yeah, yeah. Brought poetry, performed poetry. Although I'll also say that this woman's name is V. Rich, and maybe that's her talent.
Yeah. So, okay. So, V. Rich, her... I have notes about her because... I was just thinking at this point, as she gets introduced, she is from Mississippi. And I feel like it's not fair that the woman from Mississippi gets the same amount of time as the woman from, like, Maine. Because I feel like you're spending so much time saying Mississippi that, like, you actually are at a strong disadvantage.
Is it one Mississippi or are you going to do how many?
I feel like you should get some extra time for being from a state with four syllables. And then I also looked up and I saw that her full name is Veronica Rich, but it has been abbreviated to V Rich in the Chiron, which I feel like maybe is just to make up some of that lost time. But also maybe it implies that V Rich like seems to imply that she's very wealthy, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe she's like, she's used to the high society life, you know, that Travis might provide.
Bit of the secret here, putting it into the universe.
Yeah, could be.
The next woman's talent is holding hands.
Sure, another one I don't remember.
And then Miss California, who shows up at the end and says that she's best friends with her mum and wants to get married and have six kids right away.
I do think that the coming on too strong... like vibes here are not really a problem within the time frame. You know what I mean? Like, everyone is going to come off a bit unhinged within a 60-second meeting. I just think, like, it's inherent to the structure here. So I think you may as well lean into it and be like, I'm cramming in as much as I possibly can.
Here's everything, yes.
Yeah. And then if it's a complete turnoff, then you're like, fine, whatever, I only wasted a minute. But if he's receptive to it, then you've already had some of the trickier conversations, you know?
Yeah.
The expectations are on the table.
So that's all we see of the introductions. I just want to carve out some room. Who or what stood out for you here? Is there anything else that you wanted to make mention of?
Well, so, like, I am struck by the fact that we've now, I mean, obviously we didn't see 50 introductions, but we've met everybody that we're going to meet. And I'm struck by the fact that there is no real front runner as far as I can tell. I don't know
if that's interesting.
Maybe you don't agree, but, like, in my opinion, and based on watching a lot of Bachelor, like, nobody gets, like, a wifey hero edit. There's no, like, twinkly, beautiful music. There's no, like, deliberately putting, you know, one or a couple of people, like, above the rest. Apart from the fact that, you know, some get any screen time and some get none. But yeah, I don't really have a horse in the race, you know? Like, I'm interested in some of these people, but there's no, like, oh, well, I see where this is going.
Clearly, Travis is going to end up with this person because at least along the way, even some of the women who I was like, oh, he'll definitely like Boobs Girl, for example.
Uh-huh.
Like, suspicions are raised about her or the woman who runs a brand. And I was like, maybe that's them, the Georgia Peach woman.
Yeah.
And there's suspicions raised about her. So you're right in that there's not a clear front runner. And that I think that's working to the show's benefit at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it would feel false if there was a really strong front runner after 1 minute of interaction time.
Yeah, I agree. We can also now establish what the dud states are in the US.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, there's plenty of them.
This is the easiest part of every coach's job, the cuts. And Travis approaches this by asking various groups of women to come forward and saying, you're moving into the mansion, or saying, this ends your time here.
And it's at this point that we learn that 50 will be reduced to 20. I don't think this has been said at any point up until this. We are 15 minutes, I think, into the episode. And like, voiceover says, like, I will be cutting 50 women down to 20. And then he immediately starts cutting the 50 women down. I'm like, whoa, we're 15 minutes into this hour-long episode. What the fuck is going on?
And so we say goodbye to the following dud states. Iowa, Wyoming, Virginia, Montana, North Carolina, South Carolina, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Indiana, Hawaii, Utah, Alabama, Pennsylvania, Maine, Vermont, Ohio, and shout out to Ohio, because when she was leaving, she said she was simply going to try and date a pro baseball player now. New York, Idaho, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Illinois, Delaware, Maryland, and New Hampshire. You have the dud states.
Where did you get that? Did you write down, like, how? Because I was like, it would help me to keep track of what's going on if this list is somewhere, and I couldn't find the list anywhere.
Oh, no, I wrote it myself.
Yeah, okay, yeah. This is the kind of independent research that you get on this podcast. I mean, look, that's half of the fucking, that's more than half of America. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to take from that. It is good to know that those states are duds and I can stop thinking about them ever again in my life.
Yeah, they've officially lost their Bachelor of Hearts seal of approval.
That's right. And I am sorry to anybody who's listening who might live in one of those places or call it home or whatever. New York, just off the map.
You chose wrong.
You know?
What can we say?
Yeah, you should have probably been from somewhere else. And, you know, that's kind of on you. But we are left next with 20 women. And at this stage in the show, we very briefly duck into the mansion, which I don't know very much about. I guess it's in LA somewhere. We brush over this introduction to the mansion very quickly. We see a couple of rooms. They're like big, expansive, mansion-y rooms. There is an infinity pool outside. And then the woman who's narrating tells us that one of the things in the house is a shark tank. Did you catch that? That's so insane. I don't think it's fair that the women get fed to the sharks if Travis doesn't choose them. Like, I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if I can stand for that, honestly.
I think all's fair in Love and Catching Kelsey.
I mean, sharks have to eat. Like, you know, yeah. It is, like, it's a food chain situation. And, like, the women weren't counting on there being a shark tank there. But at the end of the day, like, that's their, you know, natural habitat. And the women are unwelcome visitors there. So they should be prepared.
In the ocean.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention.
Women should not go in the ocean.
That's right. And I did forget to mention that the mansion is in the city of Atlantis.
So, yes, we go to the mansion. There is a mansion. There's nothing of interest really here.
We're there for 10 seconds. It's basically just a costume change location.
What the main thing is here is that we're headed to a party. And the party is to celebrate Travis's brand new contract. So, to recap, in the previous episode, he signed a 5-year, $45 million extension to remain with the Kansas City Chiefs. And now his friends... and his agent and his brother Jason in LA are throwing him a party. I was really keenly on the lookout to see if there were any famous NFL faces or famous other faces at this party. Obviously, Jason's there. A young Chris Jones is there. He is one of the best defensive players in the NFL currently. Mm-hmm. But my favorite NFL name, who was a teammate of Travis at this time, Mike Person.
Hey, that's us. Was not when we record this Person. Podcast.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, Mike Person didn't show up. That's a shame. Mm.
What did we learn at this party?
Okay. It's very funny that in my notes I wrote, I glimpsed a couple of football personalities, which I'm sure Max recognizes. So, my main takeaway, you know, like the women show up and they start to mingle. This is, I think, before Travis arrives. And this, I think, is like the first proper test of like, you know, Travis's stated goals are like, he wants a woman who can hang and who can fit into his lifestyle. And maybe she's a cool girl. And, you know, some of these like semi-coded phrases, like, you know, fitting his lifestyle, whatever. And I think that my main takeaway here is that unlike a similar scene on a show like The Bachelor, this didn't fit, you know, like it's on the surface, it looks kind of like a cocktail party, but this didn't feel like a TV taping disguised as a party as much as it feels to me like a party that there were some cameras at.
Yeah. And you know? I think that part of that is that the NFL people who are there are all so used to being on camera. And maybe now the women are just starting to experience what this is like. And the smart thing that's been done here is that I feel like the number of cameras that were roaming were quite limited, and I think that they knew that they were going to get some action here, but that whatever they got, like, you're filming the first episode of your TV series, like, at this point I think that it makes sense to just sort of go, well, whatever we get, we get.
Right, I agree, but it's also kind of a big gamble production wise like, the cocktail party, particularly the night one cocktail party, is quite a controlled environment where, like, they are scrambling to try and find where the plot threads are, but, you know, there are things that the producers can do. They can send people in to interrupt each other's conversations. You know, they can encourage people to do, like, jump in the pool, or, you know, whatever it is. Whereas here, it feels like it's developing quite a bit more naturally. Which structurally, you know, it makes a lot of sense for the viewer, because it's like, yes, these are regular people who are mingling and trying to figure it out, and also it allows things to get a little bit loosey-goosey, where, like,
right
there are water pistols full of tequila going around, there's like footage of actual dancing with no audio, which I think indicates that there was actual music being played. I like this, you know, all of this serves to make it feel less artificial, even though obviously everybody has just met, the vibes must be fucking weird, you know.
Two things that I thought about this. Firstly, blending the artifice of a reality TV production with the real world circumstances of actual people throwing a party for actual Travis who don't give a shit that there's a show being filmed is genius. Like, that part of it, exactly as you say, removes that element of control. But what I think it does is lends an element of spontaneity.
I just realized that kind of reminds me of the only other real E! Reality show that I am familiar with, which is Kardashians,
mm.
and how you will cut away to a party that the Kardashians are attending, and like it's not a party to celebrate the episode of the Kardashians that's currently being taped. You know, it's a party right. for some other reason, and there are people there. You know, like it feels more like, oh, we bumped into this person, as opposed to like we've brought in this person. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's got a similar.
It's much
vibe.
Less staged. It's yeah, it's really good in that way. The other thing that the show does here is it uses this party as an opportunity to give us a bit of exposition for who these women are, because it's not lost on me that we're now sort of just meeting them for the first time. And so is Travis, right? He's calling women by their states rather than their names. And we as an audience are also just getting to know who these women are and what their like one thing is. And so I've tried to define those.
The other thing I think we're getting here is not just how they are presenting themselves to Travis face to face, but also a lot more ITM and, you know, to like a little bit more personality that isn't just like the best side of themselves or what they've decided to put forward. It's a bit more of like, huh, this person is like that, huh? You know, that kind of feeling?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so this is my, this person is like that, huh? Read on everyone who was introduced to us at the party. And we start with Lolo from Washington, who wants Travis to pop her white cherry.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting sentence. She goes like, the first guy I was with was black and I never went back. Maybe down the road, Travis will pop my white cherry.
Good Lord.
And this is, I think this is first, maybe? Like one of
yeah,
the
Yeah, yeah, this the is earliest? The first person that we really, truly are given the opportunity to get to know. The next person becomes important later in the episode. She is Victoria from Rhode Island. She is 5 feet tall and won't stop referring to herself as a little girl.
Yes, her thing is that she's very small. And she tells Travis, you can pick me up, which
and
I think...
you can put me back down.
Right. I think that's the foundation for any lasting relationship. I think that's all you really need. Incidentally, because Rhode Island talked about this a little bit, I looked it up and I learned that Rhode Island is, in fact, the smallest state in the U.S. in terms of area. So that's kind of fun. And then that made me think, like, oh, what if they, like, scaled all of them, you know? So the the largest state by area is Alaska. And we don't see a woman from Alaska in the final 20. I believe
one of the dud states.
I believe she was cut because she's over 400 times as big as Rhode Island. They were not able to fit her on the screen.
Yeah.
And we're not body shaming anybody, but 400 times is a large person.
It's just an obstacle for filming. More
it's
so,
honestly,
than
it's honestly,
else.
It's honestly just a failure of the technology. And maybe if they made this show again now with some of the lenses they have, you know, like maybe things could change. But that's just where we were in 2016. Travis mentions to somebody that Jordan from Arizona is one of the hottest girls. Which like, I don't know, like, you know, everybody's looking fine to me. I don't really know what his type is. Like, this is the point where I'm starting to think about this. Cause like, all I know is that he's currently in a relationship with Taylor Swift. I don't know if I see like a real Taylor Swift type here necessarily.
The either. Closest you can get is like tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, which is what Jordan is.
Yeah, you know what? I guess that's kind of true. But she doesn't, like, scream Taylor Swift to me.
No.
But I'm also like, do you, Max Quinn, know anything about his other dating history or anything? Like, do we have anything else to go off here?
Yeah. So, he had a girlfriend for a couple of years before he started dating Taylor. They broke up maybe a year or so before he and Taylor Swift got together.
Mm-hmm.
She was a woman of color.
Okay.
And they were together for a number of years after he finished dating the winner of this series.
Sure. Oh, by the way, I've never asked this. Do you know who wins?
No, I've got no idea.
Okay, good. Yeah, me neither.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Travis sort of also says here about Jordan from Arizona that she's beautiful and she knows it and therefore probably doesn't have to chase men all that often. And that's a thread that we'll tug at a little bit later.
Mm. Also, just an interesting judgment call. Like, immediately when meeting somebody, you're like, oh, I get the sense that this person is like, what, a little bit kind of conceited or, you know, I mean, what are we
standoffish or something like that? yeah, up herself.
It's not necessarily something I would have... I mean, maybe she kind of said something that leaned that way and we didn't see it or whatever. I don't know if that's something I'd be super comfortable assuming about somebody straight away, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess you're making first impressions of 15 women and you're probably looking for absolutely anything to make it easier to go, totally. Not you.
You have to. That's totally true. Yeah.
Everyone wants more time with Travis, including Anika from Minnesota, who most of the women find a bit annoying. In confessional, V Rich tells her to sit her little pigeon self down. And also in confessional, Travis describes her as a whack-a-mole.
Did we get the pigeon line twice? I feel like I heard the pigeon line twice in this episode.
Oh, yeah. So what they're doing is that they're doing it as they're going to break, and then we're coming back out.
Got it.
With that point of conflict.
Yeah. I mean, that's a killer. It's a killer piece of dialogue. I don't fully know exactly. You know how, like, you describe somebody as, like, behaving like a pig or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Something, you know, there's a lot of animal analogies that I feel like are quite clear, or they're used commonly enough that I can understand their meaning on one. What do you think a pigeon girl... What's specifically being communicated there? Is she loves bread?
Yeah. I think she's either cooing all around Travis or she's like pecking at the ground and shitting.
I was just thinking, yeah, she might be shitting everywhere.
So at this time, Anika's job was comedian and she is now a sketch writer and model. And Xavier, I can tell you that before she attempted to catch Kelsey, Miss Minnesota, Anika, had previously dated Fabio.
Whoa! That's cool.
Did you know this?
No, I didn't know this. That's amazing. Wait, okay.
Great.
Wait, yeah. Was she Pigeon Girl or was she calling somebody else Pigeon Girl?
No, she's Pigeon Girl.
That's so interesting because do you know about the Fabio Goose incident?
No.
Okay. This is great. There is a famous moment. This is a theme park world, you know.
Related tangent.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so in 1999, Fabio, by the way, if you're not familiar, he's like a romance novel, like cover star kind of, he's like an archetypal, like long haired hunk.
Yeah. He's like a 90s long haired, can't believe it's not but a hunk.
He would just show up in everything in the 1990s because he's like, yeah, he's just like a hunk, you know? Okay, so in 1999... he was at an event at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, VA. What's that? Minnesota?
Virginia,
thank you. He was celebrating the opening of a new ride at Busch Gardens, a new roller coaster called Apollo's Chariot. So he was on the first ever, like, public... No, not public. He was on the first ever go of this roller coaster, right? It was being filmed. It was this big TV event. And he's in the front, like, front row. And the ride, you know, goes. They're filming it. And then he gets to the end. And his face is covered in blood at the end. And it's because, like, this roller coaster is going so fast. It goes down and, like... I think it goes past a pond or something like that, and there is a bunch of geese in the pond, and one of the geese like got sucked in or something into like the force of this roller coaster. The geese, I think, are not used to there being a roller coaster there at this point. And so the geese, like, it's honestly kind of tragic, but like a goose like splatters across his face, I think dying. And yeah, there is this like famous image of... Fabio with like I think maybe a broken nose or like cut on his face or something and just like covered in combination of goose and Fabio blood.
Oh my God.
It's very funny that he's then gone on to date someone who is herself a bird.
Yes, that's right.
She needs
to sit her little pigeon ass down. And do you know what? Maybe Fabio needed to sit his little pigeon butt down on the ride, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Later in the episode, Anika will walk around the mansion dressed like a football coach. I think she's odd, and odd can be a lot of fun, but I think that she's also, like, clearly the exact kind of odd that will piss a lot of people in this house off.
Sure, and probably produces a dream, someone who's willing to, you know, dress up and say funny things and... Yeah.
Lexi from Georgia has been getting down with the liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world when she could have been getting down to Travis's sick beat. She's a YouTuber with millions of followers and a front runner for me, but Travis is unsure whether she's just there to promote her skincare brand.
Right. So this is the woman last week that we said was her thing was makeup. She loves makeup. I got this incredible close-up picture of her. Oh, I just realized I forgot to post it. But this incredible close-up picture of her, like, mid-applying her makeup before it's all blended. So she's just got insane blotchy patches. I mean, whatever. But yes, I love that she is, like, a YouTube makeup influencer. She even mentions that she posts on Vine. It's just, like, the most 2016 shit we hear in the whole episode, I think. But yeah, Travis is like, oh, is she here to promote her channel? You know, what are her intentions? That sort of thing. But you called her a front runner. I'm curious about that.
I just think that there's something that's going to happen here. I don't know quite what it is, but I feel like the vibe is high between Lexi and Travis.
We're getting quite a bit of introduction on her. So it does make me think she'll stick around a little bit longer.
Yeah. Someone else who I think will stick around for a while is the Stink's daughter.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. What's her name again?
Now, the Stink's daughter, referred to as the Stink's daughter.
Yeah, that's fair.
She is from Colorado, and we're calling her the Stink's daughter because she is the daughter of a former American football player and radio football commentator called Mark the Stink Schlereth. And the Stink's daughter in this scene reveals that the Stink will punch Travis in the face if he hurts the Stink's daughter.
Yeah.
And I was shocked, Xavi, to learn that Travis did not know who the Stink was.
Oh, yeah.
This was crazy to me because the Stink's
obviously
been
I didn't
for a long
know
time.
The Stink, but I think once you hear a name like the Stink, you don't likely forget it.
Yeah, no, I actually think it bodes well for the Stink's daughter because Travis has no idea that she's currently Stink adjacent.
Right, he doesn't realize she's got that Stink on her.
Yeah,
she's got Stink lines coming off.
That's what they call the family tree, the Schlereth family tree.
Did Robin Thicke's Stink Lines come out that year? Was that 2016? It was around then.
No, it was 2013.
Oh, you're
or 14,
right. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah,
never mind. But they're hitting it off also. Travis really likes her eyes. Avery is her name. I think that this would be another front runner for me.
I agree. I think she stands out. And getting the video package with her dad and stuff, like, I think that's a strong indication that something's going on there.
Yeah. Someone who Travis likes is Veronica from New Jersey, but we don't see that much of her. All that we really learn is that she makes a good impression and a good jelly-filled pastry.
Yeah, so she's a pastry chef. She also mentions that she went to Paris as part of her culinary education. That is all we hear, I think, but I was also kind of impressed by this. I was like, okay, you know.
Okay, very good. And from Paris to London from Tennessee.
Right. Not confusing at all. London from Tennessee, she is the one who's very Christian. She's the born-again virgin. And she has mentioned her religion in every single sentence that she has said on the show, which continues. She ITMs here, "It's very challenging at a party where everyone is focusing on one man. But at the same time, a Christian is not afraid." And I was thinking to myself, I can think of one party in which everybody is focusing on one man that takes place every Sunday that she's probably pretty familiar with, you know?
Yeah.
And she gets some one-on-one time with Travis where she says, "Tennessee is very Christian. She's a hardcore Christian. Several people in her family are deacons." And then she asks him, "So do you believe that Jesus died for your sins, or do you just believe in God, or are you just chilling?" The three options.
So intense.
It was very funny how this played out. She's like,
"Please check one of these boxes."
Right. And she's leading the conversation here. You know, Travis is kind of her captor, I guess.
Captive audience for sure.
Yeah. And Travis, I love the way he responds. He goes, "I respect everyone's beliefs." So this to me feels like he's saying, "I am not Christian," right? This to me feels like he's saying, like, "I'm so sorry, I have to let you down on this," whatever. But then he goes, "That being said, I did grow up, ... And there's this fucking dramatic Matt Preston pause here. Did you catch this? This is so funny.
I love this too. He's really stitching her up, and I think that it's really, really good.
I agree. I think this is a joke he's doing rather than it feels like a reality TV show beat. I think he is doing that on purpose. Like
he's being playful.
Right. He's making fun of the format in a way that I like. But then after this pause, he reveals, yes, he is a Christian. It was just such a funny moment. This is maybe my standout Travis moment for the episode.
I think this was, yeah, extremely funny. And one thing that I was really surprised to learn was that despite being a Christian, London from Tennessee is also polyamorous.
Oh, interesting. Wait, do you know, is that at this time? Wait, oh, did she say this in the show? I didn't catch this.
She says, there's three people in my relationship. Myself, my man, and Jesus.
Now, we don't meet this Jesus person that she's also dating. I don't know if that's to come later in the, you know, they might have hometowns or something like.
I think this is like a Damien-esque kind of leap that London from Tennessee is about to take on Catching Kelsey in 2016.
I do think it will be really interesting when Jesus becomes the sole focal point of the entire show throughout the last few episodes, as is what happened with Damien.
Yeah. The other thing with London is that she refers to herself in the third person all of the time. And then the other thing with London is that she's so intense and I don't like her.
She's very full on. She's very full on. I respect the commitment to the bit, if you can call being very religious that. I like that she's like, I have one character type. And then towards the end of the episode, she's like, but that's not all. And we're like,
Another thing I learned in this episode, Xavier, was about the dangers of being double parked.
Oh, talk to me about that.
Lexi from Georgia, who gave Travis the peach, who runs the makeup brand, tries to throw shade at Cece from Michigan, who we haven't really interacted with very much in this episode yet. She is one of the 15 finalists, and she is the woman who's getting around dancing and doing shots of tequila from a water gun.
She's later described as the life of the party.
This was my favorite moment of the episode.
Uh-huh.
Lexi says, she likes that liquor. She likes that alcohol. She'll mix both together.
Dude.
What does that mean?
You gotta try it. You gotta try it, buddy. You'll get fucked up like beyond belief.
Yeah.
It's like Four Loko, but you take out the parts that make it Four Loko.
It's like 8 Loko.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa.
Salma from Connecticut does not want to dance at the party because she doesn't think that it's classy. She's also been saying all episode what a connection that she has with Travis, although we have not seen it. And later, the women correctly identify that there's something a bit off about her. Is that your take on Salma also?
Yeah, I guess so. I was trying to figure out what her deal was the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really have a very strong thesis on what it is, but I think the vibe that she's just not quite, I don't know, there's something off about her is basically what it boils down to.
Yeah. So we've now largely met the women and at least observed some of their interactions at the party. Travis is having one of the best nights of his life, according to him. And sadly, that all has to come to an end because tomorrow, Travis will be sending 5 women back to where they came from.
Yeah, this is another one of those things that is just like abruptly mentioned in the middle of something else happening, kind of a whiplash moment of just like the mechanics of this show coming into play, where what I interpreted this to be was that he was saying that 8 out of the top 20 will be invited to a group date. And Travis tells them if they are invited on this group date, they should pack their bags because there's a chance that they'll be eliminated. And
That's what I thought too.
Okay, that makes sense. We've been doing this on The Bachelor recently. If you're invited to a group date, you're in trouble. But they also have a chance to prove themselves or whatever. We will wait and see, but that is not what this turns out to be at
all.
That's
not how that plays out. I was so, so surprised.
I was wondering if you would also take the same thing away from this announcement, which is like, okay, I understand the structure of this. Like, you know.
I know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
The 8 women are going to have a nice day, and then at the end of it, he's going to cut 5 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely not what happens.
Not what happens at all. Mm-mm-mm-mm. So that night, back at the mansion after the party, still definitely the same day, still definitely feeling the effects of the alcohol and the day in the hot sun and stuff. There are some very chaotic vibes, as you might imagine. We see these already kind of drunk women continuing to drink. They appear to only have plastic cups available at the mansion, which I think is kind of funny. No tings in this episode, I noted. A woman eats half an avocado with a spoon. Somebody spills red wine on the staircase. And a house meeting is called. And so we're seeing some personalities here. Christian London is already in full Honk Shoe mode with a sleep mask and pajamas on. And V Rich is kind of the mouthpiece for this house meeting. She calls everyone into the dining room and she's like, you know, I'm in charge and I need the guilty party to confess about the wine spill on the stairs. And it's like time to get some rules in order in the house. We learn in ITM that it's Cece from Michigan who spilled the wine. I don't know. It's not very interesting, but I imagine there might be some rivalry or tension between these two as we proceed. That's kind of being seeded here. And then at this point, the women are given a 2-minute warning with a big like countdown on the mansion TV screen. It's kind of like when You Don't Own Me starts playing at the Eras Tour, if anybody is listening. And then Travis appears on the screen. He's not making the trip to the mansion. He's just there on, it's like, it's room ale.
Yes.
And he tells them who the 8 women are that are going on the group date. And this is also when he reveals that 5 of these 8 women will be going home.
And so then it's sort of like, oh shit. Well, and the women, the stakes here are like, the women are shocked.
Yeah.
That they're the ones being asked to go on this group date. And because of what our experience is with the Bachelor, I was like, chill out, babes. You are probably going to be fine
here. Right, right.
Travis is going to get rid of 3 women or 5 women, and it's probably not you. Let's be honest. You're a front runner.
Yeah, yeah. So these 8 women are Kansas Cara, Arizona Jordan, Connecticut Salma. I noticed that Connecticut has been spelled incorrectly on the screen. Georgia Lexi, Florida Crystal, Tennessee London, Rhode Island Victoria, and Michigan Cece. Some of these women we've never met before.
Definitely not. And we'll get to who stays and who goes in a moment, because we are about to see one of the most ballsy moves in reality TV. But
yes.
I want to talk first about the bluntness with which we arrive at the mansion, and it is clear that it is an immediate elimination ceremony.
Right. So this is absolutely not a group date in any way. What None. Happens is they arrive at, I think, what they call Travis's place. Not yeah. too sure. Where he is formally dressed and very serious, and they all take a seat, and this is literally just like, I mean, would you even call it a rose ceremony?
No. It's just like
you are being seated, and I am going to tell you if you are staying or going immediately.
Yeah.
There is no right opportunity away. For any more conversation, no activity.
Mind is made up.
Right. Which is like, why not just do it on the TV screen?
why
do all this? Except and for what ends up happening when somebody really takes advantage of that opportunity.
And so the way that this plays out is that there's no host. And so Travis just sort of has to sit here opposite this group of women, put the microphone to them, ask them some questions, and then tell them exactly what he thinks and ask them to go back to their hometown or conversely to go and be seated at a bar that is just over to the left of where Travis is.
Right.
What did you think about the staging of all of this and the mechanic in general?
Quite peculiar. A little slapdash, particularly with the like, once the woman has been chosen to be allowed to stay, he's like, okay, cool. Well, you can go and sit over there. Like there's no good place for them to be. They didn't work out like a themed, you know, I don't know. You can go and sit on the bench and it's like, there's Gatorade there or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's not on brand.
We're not even there with the nomenclature yet. You know, you can sit in the safety zone or something like that.
Right. In fact, yeah, I remember when we watched the first season of Bachelor in the US, from all the way back in 2002. I remember how struck we were by the fact that they had come up with a name for just about everything, like right off the bat.
Right.
Where you had like the, you know, you had a rose ceremony and you had a, and we were thinking about how weird it would be to be hit with all these terms, you know, hearing them for the first time and like have to use them to address the things that are happening to you in your life at that point. But here it's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go from this chair over to that chair kind of thing. It just feels
like... Yeah, like take your seat at the bar.
Right.
And what does that have to do with any, like...
These weird like liminal spaces that are not quite...
You can sit in the bleachers.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it should be more themed, I think. At this point, while streaming this on 7 Plus, I got an ad for Australian Idol, which is now on Channel 7. Not a show I've paid too much attention to recently, but I realized it made me think about... you know, the structure of Idol, a season of Idol, where like the first part of the show, and you know, I think early in the history of Idol, it was like a couple of episodes, and then it turned out to be the most popular thing about Idol and ended up being a larger part of it, which is like you meet a super huge number of people very quickly. And in fact, a large part of the entertainment at the early stages of a season of Idol is watching people fail and watching the judges like be kind of harsh to them or whatever. And just like watching the people who do not make the cut. And I kind of equated that to what's happening in this episode where like, it is all about the brutality. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think Travis is particularly brutal, but just in terms of the sheer numbers game, we are going from 50 down to 15 in such a short amount of time. I couldn't help but think about. And like in a season of Idol, to my recollection, like the front runners don't necessarily really present themselves until all of that stuff's kind of out of the way.
That's right. You sort of like get them in the midst of, oh, here's someone who's actually good at singing, and now here's four more losers.
Right, exactly. And here's your William Hung, and here's your, you know, like whatever. Like, yeah.
You're absolutely right. Like, the brutality of it is what makes the wheels turn in a certain way for this show. And also because it's the first time that anyone's ever done it.
Yeah.
And that Travis is judge, jury, and executioner. Like, there's that very, like, it's going to be very hard to present Travis in a way moving forward that isn't a little bit callous.
Mm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how the show does that because obviously not their intention.
I'm so interested in how they can go from this episode to whatever the structure will be from this point forward. I think after this point, with only 15 women remaining, it's going to be such a different flavor of show. And I think we're going to get very up close and personal with the remaining people. I mean, unless he eliminates 10 of them next episode or something, you know, who knows?
Yeah, like who knows how this is going to work from here out. And part of the mechanic and part of the thing that I find is exciting is finding that out.
Right. But I also wonder, like, let's say you're a TV viewer in 2016 and you have just heard about this show, Catching Kelsey, but whoops, I missed the preview episode and whoops, I missed the first episode. I feel like you would have such a different perspective on what this show is. Obviously, we haven't seen the next episodes yet, but just like, if you, all the marketing is like 50 women from 50 states and like Travis is going to date all these different people or whatever. All of that's gone at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Like
the artifice is removed and it just becomes dating show.
Right.
Also, I worked out why the preview episode aired in August and then the first episode didn't air for a month. Like afterwards,
mm-hmm.
E was timing it to the start of the NFL season.
Oh.
So the very first preview episode is when the very first preseason game happens.
Yeah.
And then the preseason in the NFL runs for 4 weeks. And then 4 weeks later, first week of the season, they start their season of Catching Kelsey.
Right. The other thing I noticed, that makes a lot of sense. The other thing I noticed is that they did replay the preview episode just before this first episode aired for the first time as well.
Right. Okay. So, yeah.
Yes. Good to know. So
let's talk about the eliminated contestants now.
Yeah. So first off the chopping block is Kansas Kara.
Yeah. Kansas from Kara. Kara from Kansas is cut.
Yeah. She is the one who is the sister of Bachelor of Royalty. We never heard from her again in this episode, as far as I can remember.
No.
Maybe there was some skepticism on Travis's part of like, oh, too much reality TV in the water. You know, this can't be genuine or something.
The next person to get cut is London from Tennessee. And Travis confronts her. I wouldn't even say confronts her about her religiosity here.
Yeah, this is the best. So he goes like, is religion the only thing we connect on? You know, which is a pretty fair question, judging by everything that she's said up to this point. And she has a legendarily terrible answer, in my opinion. This really tickled me. She says, me being a severe Christian... Severe Christian? Me being a severe Christian, yes, I know God. I love him. You've acknowledged to me yesterday that you know him. I'm not just a Jesus freak. There's so many other layers to London. She's funny, just like you. Christian. Fun, drinking, having fun, twerking. I can do everything. Jesus gives everyone a chance. Let's now focus on what you and I can build together as an empire, as a power couple. One of the most staggering... You've been handed what to do here on such a silver platter. Just like, say something other than God or Jesus.
She can't get out of her own way. She says... It's so funny.
Severe Christian, I know God. I love him. I know him. You acknowledge me that you know him. I'm not just a Jesus freak. There's other layers. For example, being Christian, twerking, and Jesus has given me a chance. Like, oh my God. It's really tickled me.
It was great. It was very, very funny.
But
so obviously, London from Tennessee is cut.
Yes, she is sent home to
Paris.
The Big Ben chimes in the distance.
The next person to get cut is Salma from Connecticut. Now, this is the woman who has been going around saying that she and Travis have such a connection.
Yeah, she was a little too reserved at the party. We were trying to figure out what her vibe is. I don't know if we ever really land on it. But there is a very interesting moment here. There's a little spat with Cece from Michigan, where I thought Cece came off really badly.
Me too.
And it seems like Travis was trying to pick between these two women. The vibe here is like, Cece brings up, like, guess what, Travis? Salma didn't come downstairs for the house meeting that I called earlier. And Salma's like, I was in the shower. And Cece's like, okay, well, I was banging on the door asking if you were here for Travis or not. And Salma's like, yeah, that was pretty full on. Like,
that was too much for me.
I was not expecting a house meeting at all. I was in the shower, you know. And Cece is then invited to stay. Is this poor judgment on Travis's part? Is this producer intervention? What do we think about this?
I think that Travis has quickly realized that Cece won't be his choice. Mm-hmm. But of the two, it's probably better to get rid of the other one, Salma, now, rather than risk Cece kicking off.
Yes, that's true. And also, Cece is demonstrating an ability to be good TV. You know, like,
yes,
Salma being a little bit more of a wallflower, being a bit more reserved, and also having a vibe that professional podcasters can't quite pin down probably means she's the better candidate to not stick around. Although, you know, I like a little mystery.
Yeah, a little mystery is nice. The next person to get cut is Crystal from Florida.
Yeah, she is sort of... Her thing is that she's being presented a little bit as like perfect pageant girl, Miss Florida. And she's trying to insist that she's not just perfect pageant girl, Miss Florida. And Travis ITMs, well, I don't want to just end up with perfect pageant girl, Miss Florida. Not really hearing what she has to say on this, but...
No, he thinks that her answer to the pageant question that he's posed her is too pageanty.
Right, exactly. Even though she is insisting... I don't know. It's not all that or whatever. She can't quite get the point across. Can't quite get the ball into the end zone.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
All my valuable training is paid off. Travis asks makeup viner Lexi from Georgia, the Georgia Peach herself, is she just here for her brand? You know, she's been talking so much about makeup and skin and whatever. I guess we didn't really see a lot of that, but
skin.
She's like,
we should get some more skin in here.
Yeah, yeah. Like the pig skin.
Like the pig skin. We toss the pig skin around. And
I think I've maybe said more football things than you have this episode, which is really
You've
surprising.
Done a really good job.
We'll give you a little space to just rattle off a few names at the end if you like, Max.
Thank you. That'd be great.
And she's like, oh my God, no, I'm not just here for my makeup brand and skincare brand, my YouTube, my Vine, which by the way, you can follow me at, you know, whatever. And Travis believes her, so she's allowed to stay.
So that leaves-
curious to see more of this makeup lady and see if there is anything else going on with her, because the edit is certainly not showing a lot of other sides of her at this point. But then it comes down to the nail-biting choice between two women who I could definitely identify.
Oh, these are the two women who I feel like I knew.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There's definitely one woman I remember and one woman with brown hair.
Well, the woman with brown hair is the one who keeps talking about herself as a little girl. And
oh, Smalley.
That's why I remember her. She's right, yes, she's yes. tiny and you can pick her up and put her down.
You know what's
and
funny?
The other woman is Jordan from Arizona.
It's pretty rare that we have an elimination ceremony that is seated. You know, yeah. in most of these shows that we cover, they'd be standing. And I think if they were standing, I would probably have been able to identify her. But the seating really levels the playing field. You know, everybody's the same height.
That's true. And what happens in this elimination is that Travis is sort of saying to Jordan, look, I think that you might think that you're too cool for school. And I want
Jordan,
you to show
I think,
me
is the one that he flagged to his brother is hot. Real early yeah. in the episode?
Yeah, and she's also the woman who did boob dancing at him
oh, when okay.
the cut down from 50 was happening.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And so Travis then looks at Victoria, the little girl from Rhode Island, and says...
Please don't call her the little... I mean, I know, but, you know.
I know.
No, you can keep saying it. You can keep saying it.
I kind of only got that we could be friends. Yeah. I see you in the friend zone. And Victoria stands up. And I think that she is about to leave.
That's what I thought
too. Describe what happens next, please.
Right. So we've got this woman who is described as being in the friend zone. Now, the end zone is something a football player wants to get into. Friend zone, mm-hmm. perhaps not.
Perhaps
And she does kind of look a little scandalized here. She looks a little shocked. We don't see that much of her face. We don't see her calculating her next move. But we see her stand up, get out of her seat, and walk towards him. And she plants a big smooch directly onto his mouth. It is not even just like a one-way thing. It is like a make-out. It is like...
Yeah.
There is genuine spark, I think, between these two people. Even though he has clearly not really considered her that way. This is a truly gutsy move. Is this the first kiss of the season?
I think that there were little kisses... when the cut down from 50 was happening, but I don't think that there was ever, this is the first proper make out of the season.
Right. And you could make the argument that it's not like Travis's first choice for a kiss because it kind of just happens to him.
Yeah.
But it is pretty reciprocal. You know, like there.
I think it's reciprocated for sure.
There's some energy being put into this on both sides.
Mm.
Very bold play. Very power move type of move. Powerful move. And it is enough for him to pivot and say, you know, send those boobs dancing off into the sunset.
Arizona sun. Yeah.
That's right. Hot Arizonan Georgia. Jordan. Hot Arizonan.
Arizonan Georgia, London, Tennessee.
That's right.
Jordan.
Is sent packing. Well, she already packed. But then, yes, brown-haired, small youngster. She's the regular age. It's not about that. Her name's Victoria.
Yeah,
she's from Rhode Island.
Whippersnapper Victoria.
makes the cut. And I wonder if word will get out. You know, like, does that kiss... Mm. get back to the other women? Is that going to fuel some tension as the episodes proceed? Or is this her little secret?
Her and those are the stakes, and little, it's definitely not going to be her little
her
secret.
Tiny, teeny little secret.
But Michigan and Georgia Peach are watching this happen.
Right, that's true. And I bet one of them or both could spread the word. Although
yeah,
they're
I think
over
that's
at
my
the
pick.
Bar. You know, like, it's like... So weird. Do you have a sense of, I can't really remember, could they see what, like, were they paying attention to who was staying and going whilst they were sitting at the bar?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Don't worry.
No. Okay. And so that's the end of the episode. We point towards a next time that, look, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
The format has to change.
Yeah.
But... A thoroughly interesting first hour of television, first episode of a new series for us here on the BOH pod. I have, very much enjoyed this first little bit of catching Kelsey with you, Zave.
Me too. This episode flew by. I was shocked at how much they managed to pack into it. I wonder if it will keep being... I mean, it's a 7-episode season. I feel like it's like just going to disappear before our very eyes. But also, yeah, as you said, I think it has to substantially change at this point just because we're dealing with such smaller numbers. I hope things like I just feel like, based on the hour and 20 minutes that we've watched so far, I can't really imagine how intimate and close and, like, realistic relationship building-y it could get. You know what I mean? Like, that magic that happens in the later part of a bachelor season where you're like, oh, yeah, cumulatively, like, I have gotten to know these people and I know what their things are and I know what they like about each other and that kind of thing. I wonder if there's enough runway to do that here, but I'm really excited for the possibility because right now I'm, like, struggling to remember names. I can't remember where people are from, and that's the only thing they're being addressed by. Each woman, if we got to know them at all, has, like, one character trope. And I want that to develop in the way that it does on Batchy, but I'm very curious how they can make that happen.
Right. And at this point, who's to say?
We will have to catch the following episodes to find out. I just wanted to check in with our co-host, our special guest for this episode, who has, like, heard us doing these recaps. And I just wanted to see, like, Travis, did you like this experience? Like, did you get a lot out of doing? Oh, he's nodding. Yeah, so he had a good time.
Okay, well, that's really positive.
And do you have any, like, I'm just wondering if he has any regrets about, because obviously, like, I bet this was a good part in your life, but also, like, you didn't end up, you know, we know now you're in a relationship with Taylor Swift. So, like, you didn't, I wonder if you sent home anybody who you thought maybe might have had a, he's doing a gesture. I don't know if I should repeat this, Max. He's like making his boobs bounce. He's like saying that he wishes that he kept the boob bouncing girl. I don't know about this. I don't know, Travis.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, Travis. I don't think Taylor would want you talking like this on our podcast. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to have you on as a guest after all. Oh, he's okay, Max. He was just goofing. He's doing a gesture
he's just goofing around.
He's just one of those guys, you know. That's okay. Listeners, guys, if you've enjoyed this episode, I think we had a fun time. You can find what we're up to. You can see us posting some stuff about Kelsey and the world of Bachelor and Taylor and just all of everything on social media at BOH Pod. You can also join our ultra selective, tight knit Facebook group. 50 women in there, probably.
More.
I bet. Yeah, I think it's more. You can find us at Bachelor of Hearts Osh Posting. It's always a fun time in there. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on patreon.com/BOHpod. If you do that, you can also hear some a whole season of exclusive behind the paywall content. So I think you'll enjoy that. What else do we have to say to the people?
I don't know that there is too much. Listeners, please, if you're watching along, let us know. We'd love to hear from you on socials. Until next time.
Oh, I wanted to say thank you, Max Quinn, for the theme song. I think it's very good. You did a good job.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a nice one.
And Max Quinn, thank you for co-hosting the podcast with me because I think you did a good job. And I'd like to say thank you to the Zaveheads as well. I don't think I've mentioned them in a moment, and I just want them to know that my loyalty to them is unbroken and never ending.
Listeners,
you have nothing to say
until next time,
Max Nation, do you?
We love you.
We love you.
Goodbye. The most done was before me, searching for a sign to lead me to the end of the road. I know we fell love, following my heart so blindly, hoping that this path will lead me to the end of the road. My ears from the first moment you entered my